Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is maybe a little easier for some than others because you've been there and done that. But picture in your mind a hospital delivery room. A new mom has just given birth to her first child, and as that little baby is placed in her arms, she reaches down and touches his little nose and lets her baby curl his tiny hand around her finger. There's just something about that touch, the right touch, that says, I love you. That communicates closeness and assurance and comfort and warmth and happiness. Touch tells you that the other person is alive, real, there, and so are you. As human beings, we need just the right touch to touch and to be touched in just the right way. I think we've all become a little more aware of this need for touch because of this past year. Being separated from one another and being told to be careful who you touch, even close family members, has left us all a bit touch deprived. And we're already beginning to hear about an increase in mental and emotional disorders here in our country as a result of being locked away and out of touch with others and the fear that all of that brings. But we've really known about that for a long time. Research shows that children who are abandoned or left alone for a great deal of time will grow at a slower rate, are more prone to sickness, have trouble socially, and display more emotions of anger and depression. And this need for touch doesn't stop after you grow up. When you meet that special someone, you want to hold hands, you put your arms around each other, you sit close. The front seats of cars are probably a lot safer now than when I was young. But I remember when those front seats were also bench seats. And you could sit right next to one another while you're driving. It probably wasn't as safe as it is now, but it was a lot more enjoyable. Touch says that the person is there with you, that he's alive and real, and so are you. And just as we need to be touched by one another, we also need to be touched by God. In our epistle lesson this morning, the Apostle John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands." John says that he walked with and talked to and touched God himself in the person of Jesus. And we use a special word to describe when God could physically touch and be touched. Incarnation. That word means God came to earth and took on human flesh and blood. Real human flesh. Real blood. After the Virgin Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, she gave birth to Jesus. Fully divine, but also fully human. Jesus was someone she could touch. There was a powerful picture in the Lutheran Witness a few years ago titled, "Kissing the Face of God." It's amazing to think that when Mary touched Jesus or tapped his nose or squeezed his cheek or let him curl his tiny fingers around her finger, she was touching God and he was touching her. God became flesh to dwell among us. He did this because he knew we needed him to do so. Not only because we needed him to take our sin and die for us, but also because he knew we needed to be touched in just the right way. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus touching and being touched by people. You know, as God, he could have healed with just a word or the wave of his hand, but most of the time he touched those who healed. He reached out and blessed the little children, picking them up in his arms. He took a bit of mud and touched it to a man's blind eyes, and the man was able to see for the first time. He was touched by a woman who had suffered 12 long years, and she was healed in an instant. And then the night before he was arrested, he demonstrated the importance of touch to his disciples by taking a basin of water and touching and washing their soiled feet. We have a God who became flesh and dwelt among us to touch and to be touched in that way, in that just the right way. John says people could see Jesus, listen to him, touch him with their hands. Jesus is God incarnate, and his touch communicates that love and that closeness and that warmth and the assurance and the joy from God himself. His touch says that he is real, that he is alive, that he is really there, and so are we. Leprosy was a devastating disease in biblical times. That word leprosy actually described a variety of skin diseases, but the kind of leprosy we normally think of is the kind that destroys the nerve endings so that you can't feel anything. You lose the sense of touch and pain. So when you get injured or infected, you don't realize it, and it often leads to losing parts of your body. And because it was highly contagious, you were cut off from your community. No one was allowed near you, let alone touch you, or they too would be cut off. And it was as if you were a ghost, existing among people, but unseen, ignored, untouchable. Were you still alive and real? It didn't seem so, I would imagine, for most of them. A living death. And this ache of wondering if you're still alive still happens today. A child abandoned to take care of himself. A child who isn't held or doesn't have a lap to sit on while listening to a book. Or a marriage that has gone so bad there aren't any touches of love, secret hand squeezes, or gentle caresses. These can make you wonder if you're still alive as well. But the most devastating loss of touch is death. Sometimes families will stay in a hospital room long after someone has died, touching their loved one. A couple of weeks ago, I told a little bit about my first hospital visit where someone had died. A man in his early 20s had died of a drug overdose. And as we stood by his side in the emergency room, his parents could touch his hands and his face and his skin, but it was cold and lifeless. They knew their son was gone. You know, as you think of someone very close to you, someone who has died, there's probably something you remember vividly. A smile, a laugh, a color of their hair, a particular expression that they had. And sometimes when you close your eyes, it's as if you can just reach out and touch them. But when you open your eyes, they're not there. It's cruel and painful to know that there's no way to touch or be touched by them. But the most horrific loss of touch would be if we could never touch or be touched by God. I'm convinced that that's what we call hell. You know, endless fire, well, that sounds bad. I don't think I'd want that. But the loss of touch, total separation from God and others, means absolutely no warmth or love or closeness or assurance or joy. No right touch. And that's a frightening and miserable eternity. So, that wouldn't be our fate. God became incarnate, flesh and blood. And as John said, His blood cleanses us from everything that would keep us from touching him now and forever. On the cross, Jesus took the most devastating loss of touch for us. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced separation in a way we can't begin to imagine. Jesus was no longer touching his Father in heaven, nor his Father touching him for the first time in all eternity. And it was frightening and horrific. But Jesus took the worst of death and hell so that we can touch and be touched by God forever. And then he rose from the dead. And because he lives, we too shall live. When she saw him in the garden, Mary Magdalene couldn't stop touching him. He had to tell her that she couldn't cling to him and keep him there with her. He had other things he needed to do before ascending to his Father. And in our gospel lesson this morning, Thomas spoke about needing to touch Jesus. As we heard, he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared, risen from the dead. And Thomas insisted that he wouldn't believe unless he touched Jesus himself. And then a week later, Thomas was with the disciples and Jesus came among them again. And Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand out. Place it in my side. And because of just the right touch, Thomas was able to confess, my Lord and my God. God knows. He knows we need to touch and be touched by one another and by him. And I think that's why the gifts that Jesus gave to us, his body, the church, are so physical. Our theology declares that in our baptism, as the water touches our head and rolls down our cheek, Jesus is there. Just as he welcomed the little children, he's blessing those who come to him in that faith-creating water and word. At the baptismal font, we touch and have been touched by Jesus in just the right way, and we become a child of God and an heir of heaven. And when we come to the altar for communion, we receive Jesus in a very real way. It's what we call the real presence. By his word of promise, Jesus says he's there. In some unexplainable way, he gives to us his very presence in the sacrament. Not some cold statue or shiny cross, but right there with us, touching us in that sacrament. Jesus is saying, I love you, and giving us assurance and comfort and joy as he gives us what we truly need, the forgiveness of our sin. He is real and present and alive. But he also comes to us another way. He comes to us and to others through you and me. We, his people, are the body of Christ. His hands, fingers, and arms. When someone walks in the door of our church on Sunday, they're generally met by one or two greeters. Various people, myself included, stand in the narthex, greeting those who walk in. Every person who comes has the opportunity to be touched by at least three people before even entering the church. And then at the beginning of our service, we would normally walk around, speak a word of promise or a word of welcome, touching hands, giving a hug, and God willing, we'll be able to do so again in the not too distant future. And this is what we mean when we speak of the mutual consolation of brothers and sisters in Christ. But in a way, it's also Jesus touching us through the people who make up his church, his body here on earth. We need just the right touch to be touched in just the right way by Jesus. We need greetings and handshakes and hugs from our fellow Christians. We need the blessing of water and word. We need the bread and the wine, Christ's body and blood. We need to touch and be touched by Jesus now in this life and also face to face, just like Thomas did, in eternity. And we will. One day we too will have the joy and the wonder of touching Jesus in the same way Thomas did. His resurrection says that touch and being touched will not end at the grave, but will be ours again on the last day and for all eternity. On that day, the leper, the abandoned child, the brokenhearted, the grieving parents, husbands and wives will touch once again, because God knows we need to touch and be touched even there in heaven. And Jesus' incredible gift of forgiveness and promise of the resurrection assures us that that will be ours on that great day that Christ comes. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.